Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, it's my pleasure to have back on Rachel Thompson Phillips. She's a spiritual entrepreneur, a business and spiritual mentor, and founder of Successfully Sassy and BU Oracle Cards. She works with spiritual, sassy lady entrepreneurs who are light workers, healers, therapists, psychics, psychic mediums, yoga teachers, and coaches who provide a service-based business and want to unleash their potential and become successful spiritual entrepreneurs whose quest is to change lives and who wish to start or build an online course or business. The journey of entrepreneurship is the biggest personal development, she says, that you'll ever undertake. By encompassing your fears, logic, rationale, along with your intuitive soul calling, this will beckon you to ignite your passion and purpose so you can step into empowering who you are. Packaging your knowledge, wisdom, and expertise, along with leaving room to express your personality and bring your own magic to your course, takes time to develop, and it will take you out of your comfort zone. To create a course is to create an extension of you, your beliefs and values, and you will be supported throughout your journey of creating your very own masterpiece. And so let me welcome Rachel. Rachel, once again, how are you tonight, hon?
I'm very well, thank you, David. Thank you for the intro. It's always interesting hearing an intro about yourself.
Oh, yes, isn't it? I was just on a radio show last night myself, and, you know, even when I've provided the material, it is interesting to hear others talk about you.
Yes. Does take you on a little bit of a journey yourself, doesn't it?
Well, we all are. We all are. And, you know, in your introduction, we talk about intuition, and that's something that we all have within us. And the question is how to unlock that and use it to our best advantage in life. And so why don't we start off the discussion there? We're going to talk a little bit about the inner child too. Rachel, if you're interested, has oracle cards that she can give readings on, but we're going to just kind of explore some different spiritual realms tonight. And so let's talk a little bit about intuition and how a person can develop that.
That's a really good question. Look, I've been studying and have been totally engrossed in learning about this for over 20 years. And I think myself, the best way that you can learn how to tap into your intuition is to learn and best understand how you operate and function. Because once you can understand how you work, so what I mean by that is if you're... are you someone that receives information through pictures? Are you someone that understands or receives messages via hearing them or feeling them or knowing them? If you understand how your senses work and then develop from there, and also understanding, which I think is the most important thing, how you process information. Because one you could get 10 people all looking at one item, and yet they will all process their idea of that one item so very different, and all end up with collaboratively different information from that. So if you understand how your body functions and operates, and then how you process information, you'll be able to learn to understand how your intuition works for you more and more and more. But a lot of the time, what I have found over the years is we all learn information. I mean, as humans, we're designed to continually learn. We're like little bits of, not so much computers, but in a way, we are always looking for data and information to build on the knowledge that we have learned through the years that helps us change our values, it helps us change our beliefs, because as humans, we grow and evolve and develop all the time. So you, in some senses, you can't have the same beliefs as you did 20 years ago because your evolution has changed. And it doesn't mean all beliefs get changed, but there'll be certain ones that will require some, you know, changes. But if you understand how you're receiving information, how you process it, and how you learn to understand yourself, intuition is designed completely different for every single person, and yet everyone goes and learns information about it but forgets how to maneuver it in a way that works for them. So they keep working with something that in some cases goes against who they are, and then they find that there can be conflict. So that's why I always say the most important thing you can learn about intuition is learning about how you develop and grow as a person. And therefore, when you get new information, you can get it, you can pull it apart and put it back together in a way that is how you best learn.
Do you feel that we are more intuitive as children, and that sometimes that sense of intuition gets knocked out of us for whatever reason?
I think we're a lot more curious as children, and I think that's the only difference is when we're children, we just explore. There's a whole, this whole new world is open to us, and we don't have a sense of expectation. And so we become really curious to explore anything about life. And we don't deem it as right or wrong. And as we get older, we start putting in more and more rigid rules. And we're even taught that at school, you can't do this and you shouldn't do that, and that's not the right way to do it, and this is the only way to do it. And therefore, that starts shaping people's reality. So therefore, they become really, they lose that sense of curiosity to just go and explore just for the element of curiosity to learn and grow, because that's how we develop as humans, is through that exploration and that sense of curiosity. Whenever you're interested in going to do a new course or wanting to change an aspect of your life, there's a curiousness in you, and there's a sense of exploration where you want to go and explore and see how, if you were to go down that pathway, how different your world would be and how much you would grow as a person. So I think that for me is the only difference between when we were children and to when we are now, as we develop and get older, is that we just become more rigid and set really rigid beliefs and rigid rules for ourselves. And I think that's why you find a lot of people rebel, or because they're just so sick of that rigidness about every aspect of their world. And we can't grow and expand as humans if we have all of these confinements on the right way to do something.
Well, those are all judgments, aren't they, that we place upon ourselves or we place upon situations or experiences in our lives.
Most definitely. And look, I'm not saying that the world should not have rules, because we as humans, we need to have some structure. But if your rules that you have set in place for yourself don't allow you to expand, there's no room for growth. And I see when that happens with a lot of people, they're more prone to things like depression and anxiety. And if you delve deep into those people, it's because there's this rigidness within them. And people need to explore, there's that saying, there's more than one way to accomplish anything. You just have to work out what's the right way for you. And that allows that sense of curiosity, that exploration, and it removes a lot of that confined thinking. Because humans, our brains are so developed, and we want to know that there's 10 different ways to do it, and you want to go and actually try all of those 10 ways so that you can work out that one way that works for you. Because along that, in that journey, you're going to learn more about yourself. Because for me, I think, and this is just my belief, I think the journey that we have on this world is to learn about ourselves. We go and learn so much information. We're just inundated with information and data coming from every angle. There's social media, there's TVs, 24/7 our brain is getting downloaded with information, and we can lose a portion of who we are because we're just so bombarded by information everywhere, and we can lose sight of our own identity because we feel like we have to do certain things where we can change at any given time. That's the beauty of us as humans, is that if we make a decision to make a change, we can do it instantly. It doesn't take days, weeks, months or years to do. Yes, some things will require a lot more work, but that decision to make a different life or a different choice is done in a split second. And you find that people are always looking for some element of change for them to go in and discover more and more about themselves, different qualities, different uniques, different capabilities, because if we were to just do the same thing over and over all the time, we don't actually use the full capability of our brain and our senses. So with intuition, there are multiple ways in which you can explore that. You can do that through learning to understand dreams. You can do it through chakras. You can do it through just feeling energy, through tarot cards or oracle cards. There are multiple ways in which to learn about your intuition, just getting different tools to help you learn more about yourself and your senses.
Well, as you were talking, it occurred to me how important it is to remain flexible. And you talked earlier about how oftentimes as we become older, we become rigid through things like rules that we have taken on as almost as if they're impositions. And so it sounds like it's very important to think outside the box and recognize that there is a solution to every problem, and there usually are more than one. And you talked about all of the different options that are available to us. And so I found that to be very enlightening.
Oh, thank you. I think having, as you mentioned, that behavioral flexibility is paramount in anything, whether it be spiritual, within your life, within work, and behavioral flexibility is to be able to recognize when something's working well, you continue it, but also to be able to recognize when something's not working for you, stop, interject, look at what element is not working for you, and then bring something new in, and therefore continue on the journey that you're going on. And that allows our mind to be able to open to multiple possibilities, and therefore that's where the growth that we get is through knowing that there are multiple possibilities. Could you imagine a whole life if we were all only allowed to live one particular way? Like, there's no room for people to develop. It would be a very, very boring, mundane life if there was only one way to live.
How true. Well, it occurs to me that a lot of us go through life not really in touch with who we are for whatever reason. And I think that a lot of that begins with the way that we're parented and the environment that we grow up in and what we are taught to believe, be it right or wrong, if there is such a thing. It's so important to take care of that spark of delight within us that can help us remain creative, ever-evolving individuals. And yet a lot of people seem to become quite stunted and develop tunnel vision. And I think it really comes from them having been damaged as children. And we all, to greater or lesser extents, have incurred hurts in our past. And that little child within us needs healing. And so I wondered if we could turn the discussion around a little bit and start talking about healing the inner child and nurturing the inner child, what we can do to get in touch with who we really are at our essence, and in so doing, get in touch with what our life purpose might be.
For sure, I think that's a wonderful topic. So like you just said just a moment ago, no one gets through life unscathed. We all have wounds. But they are part of our learning process. Some of the greatest qualities that you will learn in this world, in some cases, are learned through some of the most difficult times that we go through. And It makes a big difference on the support network that you have. A lot of people find that they, you know, still with there's what are probably billions and billions of people on this earth, I think it's still sad that people still feel that they are alone and or lonely. And that is more frightening because there's this disconnection from the reality. And that stems from something that they would have learnt in their childhood. And I believe that every generation has different forms of rigid rules that we learn. Like, I remember my in-laws are in their 80s, and when they were very young, you were seen and not heard, you know, and then my mother's generation, it was still like that. So there's still certain rigid rules that travel through generations. And now you have a look at the young children of today, there's that rigid rule has been diminished. Children are seen, they are heard. People listen to what they have to say. They're not seen as that they have nothing to offer. And it allows children to see that some form of sense of self-worth, because if you're always told to be seen and not heard, you actually end up unconsciously thinking that you have nothing of no validity to you, no sense of self-value, no sense of self-worth, no identity, because you're just supposed to coexist but not actually interact. And that's quite sad. And you can see that those subtle shifts are now changing now. And what the outcome will be from that, we will soon, you know, see as things change. But how we are nurtured to be able to explore this world, because you come into this world and everything is brand new for you. Everything. And there are no limitations. And then as we slowly develop, we start learning more about ourselves. I mean, even like when you have a look at little babies, when they first start to walk, they don't give up. They keep going until such times as they learn to walk. Then they realize, well, then they can run. So that's a whole new adventure for them. They're learning more about what their body's capabilities are without any confinements and without giving up. And some of those wonderful qualities that children have, we lose along the way as we get older. And it's that sense of adventure that I feel like a lot of people of today miss within their world. Because when we're in that sense of adventure, we don't have confinements. We're there just to explore and to just give everything a try without an expectation of it having to be right or wrong. You're just there to explore. Like when you see children play, they don't have any rules. They just play. If you ever go to the park and you see kids, they're climbing over the play areas and they are not only exploring and developing skills about what their body is capable of, but without them knowing, they're actually learning more about what their brain capacity can do, because there's no rules to say, well, this is only as far as I can learn. They learn one skill and then they automatically have that sense of curiosity to want to build upon that skill. What more can I do? What more can I do? But as we get older, we have this sense of fear. All of a sudden, we have all these rules. We're taught to behave a certain way. We're supposed to have these certain jobs. We're supposed to earn this certain kind of income. Expectation gets put on us. And when our expectations become so high, we lose that sense of adventure and that sense to look at the world with a set of eyes that everything is unlimited to you. It's only the confinements you put on yourself.
Well, when we do that, then we move away from faith and feeling free. And I'm wondering what kind of suggestions you would make to people in terms of turning from fear or even recognizing it to begin with, because, of course, a lot of times we're not really aware of what's going on within us. We just kind of go through life almost as if we're robots. And,
that's right, and having that conscious awareness is number one when wanting to make any change. You need to be consciously aware when that behavior or that pattern presents itself, and then because that's only working on the first level, that conscious awareness, because when we have done certain things for so long, we do them unconsciously, and that creates a neurological response that the brain doesn't even have to think about doing that action or behavior. It's done it so many times it knows how to do it without thinking. So when you notice or want to make different changes or want to bring fear present, the moment you recognize an action or a behavior that you identify with being fear, so it could be all of a sudden you recognize that you're saying no to everything. The moment you hear yourself no, become consciously aware of it and then drop down to the next level and go, well, what is it about this situation that you're saying no to? And then find the answer there and then drop down the next level and ask yourself questions like, when was the first time you remember being told that you couldn't do this? And answer that question. And then go to the last question, which is, would you really like to do this or not? Because we say yes and no to things so many times that we can do it unconsciously. But the moment you actually stop and sit and be really quiet and ask yourself that question, if you really want to do that, sometimes you can find that the answer can be very different, because you've actually given yourself that moment to actually become present within that decision-making process. And I think that has the greatest things to be able to create shifts within people and be able to transform them from feeling stuck and frozen in fear to being able to make different choices, is that being present in the decision-making process rather than just working from an unconscious state of yes, I can, or no, I can't.
Well, I like the way you talk about going through those different levels and getting in touch with the point in time where somebody may have told you that you couldn't or shouldn't do something a certain way. And a lot of people, I think that would be a real epiphany for them to recognize that it really all stems from their past. and that it's nothing in the present per se that's blocking them. It's a block within themselves that comes from part of that damage, soul damage, if you will, that occurred at some earlier point in time. And so I wonder if we could talk a little bit about the road to transformation and to self-empowerment, so that once we recognize that particular juncture in our lives and realize that we want to do something about it, what are the steps we can take to move forward?
That's cool. As you mentioned just a moment ago, a lot of our wounds come from when we were younger. And in most cases, a lot of that is so very, very true. Some of our deepest wounds will come from when we were young children. The difference, which I work with my clients and have done for years, is that when that time, when that event happened for you when you were a child, you didn't have the capacity of thinking that you do now. So that pain and hurt you when you were a child, and you've held on to that pain all the way through the rest of your life, and yet you've never ever gone back in and examined it and questioned whether that pain or hurt is still relevant to you today, or what is it about that pain or hurt that is relevant. And it can be something simple as I worked with a client once, and she, when she was younger at school, a little girl said to her she was ugly. And she carried that through her whole life. She spent lots of money on making sure that her hair and makeup and her clothes all looked on the outside exterior. Everyone would have thought that she was beautiful, but on the inside, she didn't feel that. And when we examined that and went back over the times, it stemmed back to that little girl making that comment when she was very young, and she held on to that meaning almost like it was gold, like it was set in stone that for the rest of her life she was going to be ugly. And she'd never ever once questioned if that was real, because she had given such a strong meaning to it that every part of her life then became centered around that one belief that wasn't actually even true. And I think for transformation to occur, we have to understand that we are now adults, and that the way that we have viewed the world is so very different. We have such a deeper understanding about humans, how they behave. Because, you know, as an adult, if I said to her, oh, this little girl said to you that you were ugly, she'd go, and so what? But just because she was a child, she took it on like it was gold. So I think for anyone that has any deep wounds, recognize that you have the capacity to go back and observe that event that happened to you where there was fear or a really big deep wound, and actually ask yourself the question if what happened then is really relevant to yourself. Because what can happen is, again, using that same example, that woman then tortured herself for the next 30 years thinking that she was not pretty. So through one little instance, through one little moment that was said to her, she gave it a meaning that she was ugly, and she held on to it, and then she went and acted out and behaved in that way because she held on to it so true that it became embedded within her cellular structure. So in order to change that cellular structure, we had to go back to the core of the problem and really work out who was it. It's not about a matter of blame where it actually, yes, it originated from there, but she herself continued to torture herself through the rest of her life. Once she could recognize that there was an ownership, that there was a part that she played heavily in it, she realized she could change it.
Well, that certainly is a good example of how we can fall into certain patterns that can perpetuate themselves over the years, which undoubtedly compounds the situation for an individual, and why it's so important to do some digging to get to the root of whatever our particular insecurities or judgments of self are all about in order to move forward and find the road to freedom.
Yeah, and asking really empowering questions, I think, is the most paramount thing that we can ask ourselves. A lot of the time over the years when I've worked with people, a lot of their questioning, self-questioning, is why. Why did this happen? Why is this happening to me? And what that question does is it removes you from ownership, because then people allow themselves to feel that life is happening to them. But when you ask really empowering questions like, what is it about that situation that has created this pain? How can I make changes? What can I learn from this experience that's both positive? Because even out of, even again using that example of that lady being told that she was ugly, there were so many beautiful, wonderful qualities that she had learned from that experience that she had never recognized or honored, was the fact that she then made sure that for the rest of her life, she always took very good care of herself. She made sure that she ate well, that she looked well, she took care. So she spent a great deal of time self-loving and self-nurturing herself, and she'd never recognized that. So even out of something terrible, there is a beautiful learning. And again, going back to the discussion that we had at the start of the show, we as humans are here to learn. But if we don't recognize that every situation in our life presents us with some form of learning, we can continue to keep making the same mistakes. And through some of our most unpleasant experiences in this world will teach us some of our greatest skills and our greatest traits about ourselves, that we can gain strength and determination and motivation that we may not have learnt those skills had we not experienced that wound in the first place. So, you know, again, asking powerful questions: how can you make changes? What can you do? What is it about it? Is it relevant to you anymore? Do you want to hold on to that kind of pain? They all bring you back to a sense of ownership. You own what you are doing to yourself now. And the moment that we have ownership, we can make change. But the moment, if we don't recognize that we own a responsibility to ourselves, then we are always looking to blame other people, and it takes us out of the equation. So then makes people think that they can't make changes, and that's rubbish. We can make change at any time, but we have to take ownership for where we're at.
I think that's an extreme. You've made a number of extremely important points, but I think the most powerful thing that you just said was how we ultimately are responsible for shaping our own destiny. And that is where the power comes from, because it does come from within. And when we ask that why question, we continue to portray ourselves as victims and remain locked in that cycle. And so the questions that you asked are all wonderful, wonderful ways that we can open the prison gate. So I really appreciated that.
Thank you. And what it does is it opens up the consciousness of thought. The moment you say, what is it about it that hurt you, the brain has to then go looking for the answer. So it starts exploring. It starts digging deep. It starts actually getting to the core of it. Because a lot of the time when I've worked with clients over the year, when I would say to them, what is it about this situation that really hurt you? They really can't identify with it, because all they've done is ask the why questions, which just keeps them in that victim mindset. Life becomes circular. They don't become present, and everything becomes about life is happening to them. But the moment that they can identify what it is for them, it's so profound. And it's usually one-word questions like, I didn't feel love, or I didn't feel supported, or I didn't feel nurtured. And it's that love, support, and nurture. They're the one word that they're looking for, so therefore they can identify what it is that was the pain, and therefore the next question of how can I change it, therefore goes, you have a start point. You didn't feel nurtured, or you didn't feel loved or supported. So how do I create that change? The brain then again opens up endless possibilities of opportunities for you to then go and explore. How do I bring that love back? How do I allow myself to feel nurtured? How do I allow myself to feel supported? So there's this massive awakening within the brain that opens up a whole new world for them, just like children, like we were discussing earlier, because therefore the world is there, but you yourself have closed these opportunities for you to be able to explore. But the moment those doors are open, there is this sense of freedom that comes within. There's no confinement anymore. There's a choice, and that's the most important thing that we are gifted with in this world, is we have choices. We can choose to do nothing, and that's a choice. We also have a choice that we can choose something different. Whatever it is that you want to do, go and explore it. Who cares? Remove yourself from that confinement and go and open up new aspects of yourself. Because when you close the door to possibilities, you are closing off different doors within your soul for you to learn and discover more about yourself. You know, you have a lesson
well,
to any great athlete or anyone that's done extremely well, the mental torment that they would have gone through if they had listened to each one of those little tiny voices that said they couldn't do it, they would have never have been where they are today. And it takes a great deal of strength to work through that within your mindset to be able to break through that. And it's not easy, but you learn and discover more about yourself along that journey. So that's why I believe that pain is part of our journey. It's just a different polarity in which it's the opposite polarity of love. Pain is love. It's just shown in a completely different way.
Well, in essence, pain becomes the catalyst for growth, doesn't it?
For sure. For sure. And without that, you wouldn't learn some of your greatest values. You wouldn't learn, you know, there's so many people of today that were brought up in a very, very unhealthy, unpleasant childhood. And through that, they have become the greatest parent. But they wouldn't necessarily have been that greatest parents had they not experienced the pain.
Mm.
So some of the greatest tools and resources that we will learn about ourselves are sometimes governed through some of our greatest hurts. But that can't be the only motivation. You know, because there's all these other beautiful things that are there to complement that hurt and pain.
Well,
so it's about
having
that balance.
Yeah, life is certainly a balancing act at every level, and it involves heart, mind, body, and soul. And I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about how to best stay in balance and what to look for when we are starting to get a little bit out of kilter.
That's a really great question. Again, going back to that behavioral flexibility and understanding ourselves, each person's sense of balance is very different from the next. So when we can understand what our center point of balance is the most important part. And recognizing that the moment, as we become more and more evolved, we become more sensitive to when something is not in alignment. So the moment that we can start to recognize that on a physical level, our body starts to feel differently. On a mental, emotional level, you will know that if something's not working against, you know, not in alignment with you, there will be some mental conflict going on. on a spiritual level, you will find that there will be a disconnection to self. And on a soul level will mean that you're probably not listening to your intuition. So there's all these different, you have these four different ways that our soul communicates to us that something is out of balance. And each person will adhere to one of those a little bit different. As in, what I mean by that is if you are not very spiritual, then you may recognize that through a physical level, that your physical body just doesn't feel right. And you've got aches and pains and you feel a bit cranky and stiff and sore. If you are someone that is a little bit more intuitive, you'll start recognizing you're not listening to your intuition or that you are withdrawing. So they're all little different signs that our soul uses to be able to communicate that we're out of balance, out of our own natural sync with ourselves. And using that behavioral flexibility and removing any judgment, because it's not a matter of what got you off path or how you got there. The journey is, how do you bring yourself back? So again, asking those really powerful questions of what is actually out of sync? Because you probably will find that when someone is out of balance, they're not, unless it's been left for too long, there will either usually just be one or two aspects of self. So it could be if your physical body's not feeling so great, asking those powerful questions, what do I need to do? And it could be you may not have been eating as well as what you should. It could be that you're not exercising and getting that freedom of movement and getting all the blood flowing through your body that's creating it. If it's on an emotional level, what is it that has triggered this imbalance and therefore correct it? So having that behavioral flexibility to, you know, if something's not working, stop doing that and bring yourself back into balance. And I think that's, you know, I think the journey of balance is a bit of an illusion to some degree, because we, in most cases, you'll find people have this really beautiful balance and all of a sudden something will happen and they're all out of sync. And then we get ourselves back into balance and we go along again and then something else presents itself and you're out of balance. But I think each time we bring ourselves back to balance, it's a different variance of balance. We're at a different level, so it requires different attunements along the way. So again, I will always say it comes back to best learning, understanding how you function and how you operate within this world is the best way to know what your balance is, because my sense of balance would be very different to your sense of balance.
Right, I think that's important for us to remember, is that what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for another, that we are all unique individuals with our own histories, and we all have our different capabilities, so our life courses are charted according to whatever experiences have come our way and whatever is uniquely our own.
For sure. Like, even the classic example of meditation. Now, for some people, they can find that they can get into meditation by sitting quietly and being able to go within, and that is wonderful. But for other people that are really, really active, for them, meditation is exercise. Very physical exercise like boot camps or gym workouts or running, something that's really vigorous, because someone that has a very, very active mind, their mind is thinking about 10 different things. And meditation, if you have a look at the term, is about being able to focus on one thing. So that's where exercise is an actual form of meditation for people with very busy minds, because they're only focusing on one thing, and that brings them back to a sense of balance. So it's meditation, and that's what I'm always saying, is that there is always more than one way to get to that end point. And meditation is about to go within and have one focus, but you can do that in a multitude of different ways. It's about recognizing how you are as a person, understanding how, if you're where your energy's at, not pushing it to deplete it, but knowing that you could explore that end point, which is having one focus, can be done in a different multitude of ways. And, you know, because if you were to say to someone with a really, really busy mind, I want you to go and sit and go within, they don't have that capability to do it, because in some senses, for people with very active minds, that physicality of being extremely flat out and, you know, really pushing their body, what that does is it actually shuts off their brain, and it allows them to become, allows them that ability to go within. Now, each person to go within is done differently. That's why I always say, like, it's really important when you are, if you have something going on in your world and you go and discuss it with certain friends that we have, it's always important to understand that they can only give you information based on their life experience. It doesn't mean they fully understand what you're going through, and it's up to you to look at what information that they've given to you is valid, and how do you then take that on board for yourself that can help you heal, rather than just taking what they say as gospel.
I think that's so important. We need to remember that we all have our unique gifts and different perspectives. I mean, we were talking a little bit about perspective earlier, although we weren't using those particular words. But I loved what you were saying about meditation and how physical exercise can be a form of it. I was thinking of when I used to ski. That was one of the most beautiful forms of meditation that I could do. I just felt totally into the experience and the freedom and alive in my body. When I make music, that stimulates me in a different way, but it focuses me where I let go of my thoughts. And I think, to me, the ultimate goal of meditation, however you do it, is to let go of that busy chatter that happens in the brain and to just release yourself to the freedom of being at one with whatever it is that serves your soul.
And that's so wonderful to recognize that there is, you know, the moment you can recognize that there are certain activities that you do that allow you to become fully 100% present within your whole body, and that when you're in that space, you actually feel alive. And those are the things that, when we were talking earlier about inner child to how we are as adults, they're the moments that we limit. But whereas children, they're living in that presently every day. So when someone wants to create change, to me, I always say the greatest thing they can do is find what you love to do and do more of it, because it allows you to stay present in the best, purest form of who you are. And the more times that we get to experience that, the more that we are able to give ourselves permission to be ourselves fully in our entirety of our whole being, because there's no judgment. I'm sure when you're out water skiing, you don't judge yourself. You're not asking yourself if what you're doing is right or wrong. If you're standing upright, you're water skiing, you're doing it right. Do you know what I mean? But you've got that, you've got that freedom to feel that you're gliding over the water, so you've got that connection to Mother Earth. You're feeling strong in yourself, because you have to be strong when you water ski. Your mind is so clear, and in that moment, you are the greatest version of yourself. But how often do you do water skiing, David?
Well, the answer to that is not too much anymore.
What about music? How often do you do the music? Because you said that music does the same thing for you.
That's something I do on a more regular basis. I play the piano, and I find that when I am able to do that on a regular basis, I tend to stay more centered. And I just loved what you were saying about doing those things that you enjoy and just relishing in them. It reminded me of Joseph Campbell, who would say, follow your bliss. And that's the way that when I do that, I remain in a place of pure joy. And I believe that's our spiritual birthright.
That's right, yet we don't put that in our daily schedule. And in some cases, we don't even put it in our weekly or monthly schedule. But could you imagine if you gave yourself permission, because that's the only difference, is not allowing ourselves to give ourselves permission to see the value in how much your world transforms, the more opportunity that you get to stay in that state of bliss, i.e. playing the piano. Imagine if you gave yourself permission to spend 20 minutes every day and that became your priority, that you had 20 minutes to just sit in that pure bliss. How different would your world be, or how different would your soul feel within itself if you simply allowed yourself that space to have 20 minutes out of a 24-hour day? You gave yourself that you were a priority for 20 minutes a day. And, you know, we all, myself included, make excuses. We get so busy, and yet when someone says, what do you love to do? And they say this, how often do you do it? You go, oh, shit. I should. And that comes back to that ownership and responsibility that why are we not allowing ourselves to have something that we create so much joy and something that we love and connects us to our soul? Why are we not giving it to ourselves?
Well, I think the key word that you just used was allow, and that to me is what letting go is all about. When we allow ourselves and give ourselves permission to enjoy our passions, to enjoy our lives, then we let go of those things that bind us.
Yes, so very true. For myself, it's laughter. I love laughter. I love to laugh at funny things. I mean, there's multitudes of funny things that you can find on Facebook, but when you were asking me about like patterns and behaviors, and I, for myself, always know if I'm not in balance with myself, means I'm not laughing, which means I'm not enjoying my world. And to me, that's one of my greatest values, is to be able to enjoy, and how I express that is through laughter. So the moment that I recognize that I haven't laughed for the day or something like that, I know something's out of sync with myself. Because that allows me to just break free of pressure, expectations of life. For just a moment, you can just laugh and to just experience life in its entirety, like you do when you're playing the piano. And the more that we can have that time to experience that, I think the world and people would feel so much more in balance and more in sync and have a greater connection to self if we had the ability to make ourselves a priority.
Well, it's again, it comes down to seizing those opportunities when we have those points of awareness that we're out of sync. You know, when we exercise our personal responsibility for taking advantage of the gifts that life has to offer, then we move forward in a direction that feels more positive for us.
Yes. And the two greatest things that people will always use as an excuse when they feel like they can't make transformation or change in this world is time and money. I haven't got enough time and I don't have enough money. Now, they are two of the greatest roadblocks that anyone will come across when wanting to create transformation in their world. And yet we are all privy to the same 24 hours. How we spend those 24 hours is a personal choice. Yes, some of that has to be given to work, sure, and family, but I think every person could find 20 minutes or half an hour out of their day to schedule in some self-nurturing, self-love time. How you want to spend that 20 minutes is up, it's up to each individual. Some people find sitting on Facebook for 20 minutes is just a really great way to escape and just let go. You know, so however you want to spend your 20 minutes, that's a personal preference. But I think if every person made themselves a priority, and it's so easy to let to make other people more of a priority than ourselves, and that is a way of not nurturing our inner child, because again, we're going back to that old belief that we don't have any value. That if we, you know, because a lot of people, you know, a friend would ring up, they're in a dire emergency, you just drop whatever you're doing, you go and do something for them, yet you won't give yourself that same priority that this is really important for me and my journey here on earth and how I feel within myself, but I'm not going to give myself that same priority because I'll make my world so busy or let myself believe in the excuses that time or money. And I think when those limitations can be let go, then again, it just comes down to choices and ownership.
How true. Well, Rachel, I really have enjoyed the hour, and it's been a wonderful discussion. I thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed the discussion today, and I really hope that it gives the listeners a different perception or a different perspective to be able to look at. I know through having the conversations with you today, it's now making me go, where am I going to go and put my 20 minutes in? You know, you got to take ownership for the conversation you just had.
Yes, well, it comes back to that personal responsibility and making those choices each step of the way. I mean, it's all about being responsible for your own happiness. And, you know, that's something that we all can find our personal power in when we do that.
Yes, very, very much so. So today's been I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and it's, you know, that moment for me to go away and reflect and take my own advice.
Same here. Thank you, darling.
See, there you go. There's my laughter for the day.
Yeah, mine too. Well, we need to do a lot of that. I've
yes.
heard that children laugh so much more than adults, and
yes,
you know, I don't know exactly what that's about, but that's more food for thought.
Yes, for the next show.
Yeah. No problem. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, Rachel. And folks, just to let you know, tomorrow night, the brilliant psychic medium Kat Edwards is going to be on the show, and she will be doing readings. And so I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern Time. And Rachel, I wish you a beautiful day, because I know your day has only just begun.
Yes, and you have a lovely evening.
What was that?
I said you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. I plan on doing that. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expression, ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, Rachel.
Good night, love.
God bless.